Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The question, what is truth, is no longer simply a philosophical debate. It's an increasingly daily ask in a polarized society that consistently grapples with questions about the nature of truth. In that spirit, the Biggs Museum of American Art is rolling out a new exhibition, Circle of Truth, 49 paintings ending with Ed Ruscha, which unpacks the concept of truth and how our perceptions, biases, and interpretations shape our understanding of reality. And in this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon is joined by Biggs curator Laura Fravel to explore Circle of Truth.
All right, Laura, there's a lot to sort through here with Circle of Truth. It's a collaborative project featuring 49 contemporary artists. It took 9 years to complete, and I think that's a great place. And what I think is a really interesting place for us to start is, you know, that process, the entire process of developing the exhibit, which I read is likened to a childhood game known to most as telephone. So can you walk us through what that process looked like and the meaning behind the method?
Yeah, so I think it's a pretty simple idea to understand because so many people played this game as a child. I knew it as telephone. I've met other people who knew it as rumor. But the idea of starting a conversation by whispering in somebody's ear, they whisper into the next person's ear, they whisper into the next person, and this people mishear things, they misinterpret things. So by the time you get to the end of the chain, whatever the starting topic sentence was has completely changed and morphed. And usually people burst out laughing that it's gotten so ridiculous. And this is kind of the artist version of that, where the first artist in the series mailed their work to the next one with a blank canvas in the same crate, same size. That artist then, in this little crate designed for two pieces, would mail their piece and a blank canvas to the next artist. So nobody knew who came before them in the series. They were just given this prompt of, what is the truth you see in this canvas? You had to respond to the one before you, but also convey your own truth using the skills you have and then send that on the way. And I don't think the curators of the show, Shane Gufug and Laura Hipke, really realized how long this would take or how big it would get, that it was kind of a little insular project started at Farmacket in LA back in 2007. That organization actually shuttered in 2009 for economic reasons. But the project kept going and endured, and life intervened. But some artists respond right away within a week. Sometimes things happen. Somebody has a death in the family and has this canvas for 3 months, 6 months, and takes a little while to get back to it. So morphed many times over the course of the project and ended in 2016. And that's another hurdle that I don't think the curators originally foresaw, that the nature of truth changed so much in our political climate. And the show itself is not overtly political, but the way we talk about truth changed so much at that moment and is continuing to change today.
Yeah, I'd say as a concept, truth probably has never been more debated, or at least as a topic of discussion. But I'm also curious, Laura, as a longtime curator and as someone who has worked in the likes of, you know, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, the Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum in New York, the Smithsonian American Art Museum in D.C., Winterthur, you know, listeners, you get it. Laura's been around. But, you know, have you ever heard of something like this before, just in that process, that, you know, that rumor, that telephone-like or esque process in terms of development? Does anything similar come to mind on that?
I have not. And I think that's one of the things that attracted us to this show is so many exhibitions are organized by institutions, that they're often already existing work curators are selecting from things they know about. But to start a show not knowing where it'll go or what people will respond along the way, and just let the work morph organically, that is a very brave thing to do, and to let this expand as it goes. It was, as I said, originally conceived for this particular venue, Farmacket in LA. And every canvas in the show is 20 inches square, so they're relatively small. And that was intended to fit in that space way back in 2007. And they just calculated, okay, how much space do we have in this room? We can fit 49 canvases if we do this size, and plan the show with this very narrow vision in mind, but gave it the space to change over the years. So this show never really ended up in that venue and has been traveling since then. And I think that's one thing that attracted us too, that we saw a hole in our calendar. We saw that this was available. It's a little different for the bigs, that we are a collection pretty much focused on the Delaware River Valley, artists in this area. And to bring in what is a relatively simple and novel idea from a mostly West Coast group of artists to share with our own audience, I think that lets us bridge that divide across the country too, in some ways.
Yeah, I love that. Something very, at least from an outsider's perspective here, something very human and organic, and there's so much character to this. Just a lot to be excited about. But as far as the artist behind this, Laura, among the 49, contemporary artists that make up this exhibit, I'm sure it's tough to choose from, but are there any that stand out to you specifically?
Yes and no. And I say 49, it's actually going to be 50 artists because it's intended as a series of 49. And then the 50th responder is you, the viewer, that you are the final arbiter on truth and how you take in the whole series, you respond to the final work, what you come away with. So it's a little interactive of putting you in that final place. And it's hard to pick out a single favorite just because what makes it special is these are necessarily in conversation with each other. And so I think of kind of favorite runs in the show of you'll have four to six in a row that clearly are responding to each other more closely. And then it'll jump where one artist zigs where everybody else zagged and become a very different animal. One of my favorite moments is earlier in the show, in the first series of there's a painting based on the golden ratio, kind of this architecture that's in nature, in flowers, in facial structures, proportions. But the artist was afraid that would be too obvious and camouflaged it. So there's kind of these warm colors. There's this veil painted over the front that they didn't want to be too apparent and too much like it was coming out of a science textbook. And the next artist completely did not see the golden ratio at all. They just saw the warm colors and then made their own painting winter themed as kind of continuing the seasons. And then the artist after that didn't even see the winter. They just saw these very geometric stripes. And painted their own rendition of a cat's face with stripes over it, kind of claw marks coming down. You never know when you put something out there in the series what the next artist will see in your work or how they're going to respond to it, and you have no control over that.
As far as the theme goes, then, I mean, for you speaking anecdotally, we're looking at, the human psyche here and this concept of truth and this need for, meaningful, authentic, like truthful interactions almost. And also, all these other themes around truth where, how our surroundings and our nature affect that and our reality of truth. How do you feel anecdotally that is communicated through this exhibit and the artwork?
And truth, I will say, is such a loaded word and can mean so many things. And the idea of a show of what is truth just sounds so broad. But I think within the show, within 49 different perceptions of what is truth, it opens it up to a lot of different approaches and different facets to that. That some artists see truth and think, we go back to my scientific textbooks and diagrams and try to come up with this underlying structure and architecture for the universe. Forms that look like they're under a microscope. Some people turn to art history and trompe l'oeil painting, trying to fool the eye, trying to force you to decipher what is real versus what is painted by their hand, what's a collage bit versus what has carefully added shadows to make it look fake. And then there's that personal element too of maybe truth is my lived experience, my biography, how I bring what I know to this image I'm looking at. And that informs that truth. So it is a very broad term to try to encapsulate in the show. And I'm curious what our audience is going to see when they respond to it as well.
Given that background we've kind of laid out, how has that affected the installation process? I feel like it'd be more challenging, for XYZ reason, putting everything together. But I'm neither a curator nor an artist, so but how has that specificity, that circle of truth presents, played out in the installation?
The installation process, I will say, was interesting. That in some ways, this sounds like it would be straightforward, that it's 49 canvases, all the same size, all the same hanging hardware. And numbered, so they're in a particular order. But I know we had a lot of internal conversations about how people will move through the show of our museum is a series of smaller spaces. Do we have everybody walk around the entire space looking at just one wall and then loop back and do the other side of the room? Within each room, is it a smaller circle as you walk around and do little laps and repeat those circles and patterns over and over? Do we have to diagram the space for people, or can we trust them to find the next number and read these in order? And I say read because it's not just the canvas, but every artist wrote a small statement of what they saw in the previous piece and how they sought to address it. And as you follow this along, it's almost like continuing the next chapter in the story. And it's fascinating to see the leaps of things that to one person were so obvious and apparent, and to the next person did not see them at all, just completely missed whatever the intention was of the previous painter.
Once again, this seems very human and very engaging. But what's the timeline look like for this exhibit, Laura?
So this exhibit is going to be with us till pretty much the end of September. And we have some interesting programs alongside the show too. We have both of the curators coming to do a virtual program if you want to join us from wherever you are and ask them questions directly. We're also partnering with Delaware Humanities, so we have some of their speakers coming, and we have a talk in August called The Right to Lie, thinking about how in our culture historically, politicians have kind of bended the truth, and public speakers have bended the truth to share their points more convincingly or to tap into things that people sort of knew from lived experiences but hadn't actually found a voice for.
Thanks to Biggs Museum of American Art curator Laura Fravel and our Kyle McKinnon for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist. And we wrap up the green next with Enlighten Me, where we meet a Smyrna couple working to create an ossuary to give skeletons donated to science a proper final home. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.